I got a question.
Oh, Samaria.
What's your question?
So, how do you know if God is speaking to you? Like, how do you know? Is it just like a thought, or is it like a presence?
I love it.
That's a good question.
That's a really good question, though.
Because
I love it.
Oh, that's a good question.
Welcome to Millennial Talks.
We're here to
encourage our youth
and enlighten our elders. Here's a peek into the minds of millennials.
Welcome back to Millennial Talks. I'm Sharday Figures.
Jermaine Man Jarrell Taylor.
It's Robert Crawford.
Nice. Let's go. Like
So, does everybody want to introduce themselves separately? What we doing? Name, age,
maybe? That's cool. All right. I'ma just call out people because I don't think we can really go into order on Zoom. But let's start with Sam.
Hi, my name is Samaria George. I'm 12 years old.
Nice. And then next I have Mariah.
Hi, my name is Mariah. And I'm 19 years old.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Yes. Now we got Israel.
Hi, my name is Israel. I'm 30 years old.
Nice. Let's go. Sade, you want to go ahead and introduce our topic for today?
Yeah, for sure. Let me get a little drum roll. Today's topic is building/having a relationship with God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. All right. So everybody know, if you new to Millennial Talks, you don't know that we kick things off with prayer. If you an original, an OG, let's get this prayer going. Let everybody bow their heads. Lord, we come to you today just to say thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing us, putting us in our right mind. Thank you for leading us and guiding us each and every single day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Continue to just have mercy on us. Continue to just lead us. Lord, lead us through this conversation. Allow this conversation to be able to touch somebody, to be able to uplift somebody, to help somebody grow, so help somebody be aware, help somebody execute another day. Lord Jesus, just continue to watch over us. Continue to just take care of us. Lord, we thank you for all the good, all the bad that's meant for our good. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Woo! Woo! Let's go.
I'm excited. Wow. Sheesh. So y'all, I guess let's start off, everyone kind of sharing, I guess, maybe even if they have a relationship with God or if they're working, what's your status with God? Like, do you have one? You kind of on the fence? You working on one? Let's just go around and saying that.
Okay, well, I started off. I have a relationship with God. Is it where I wanted to be? Like, okay, let me give you an example of where I want it to be, right? I want it to be where I'm talking to God, you know, his ear here. I'm telling him, whispering his ear, God, I want you to work this out. And God just bow, just do that like that. That's where I wanted to be. It's not to that point yet, but work towards that, to where it's like an instant connection. I ain't got to do praying a long time. I just have it like immediately.
Okay.
I can't put on that.
All right.
Go ahead.
I actually want to ask a question. So being close with God, I just want to know like the definition, because when you were saying that you want to be able to just ask him something like, bam, does that necessarily mean that you are close, have a certain closeness with God? Because
right,
someone who may not be in your spot could be very low and do the same, go and ask and it seem like God will answer them like that too. So what is your definition of being close with God?
I love it.
So my definition of close with God is like literally to the point where we have to realize is God, he's like omnipotent. He knows all. You know what I'm saying? He don't deal and talk with everybody. You see what I'm saying? It's not where everybody can get to the point where, you know, you know, it's like it's levels to it. Like certain people, like it also says in the Bible, certain people have 100, some people have 60, some people have 30. So I'm saying everybody have a certain level in God where it's the like maximum level they can achieve. You know what I'm saying? So if my level is 30, I can't get to the point where somebody got 100 at. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, for example, say if I'm the one with 100, I can get to God and talk to God and communicate with God on a whole different level than somebody with 30 can or somebody with 60 can. So I really want to maximize my capabilities or whatever level I'm at to where I can reach God.
I have a question for that later on.
But yeah, I want to comment on that too.
I definitely got a question.
Yeah, let's get everybody else going around saying their status right now, and then let's get into the discussion.
Well, I do.
Go ahead, Mara.
And what was the question again? Was
where are you at? Do you have a relationship with God? No, on the fence.
So yeah, to answer that question, I do feel like I have a relationship with God. Of course, it's I might need to go back and revisit him and try to build it back up because it has went down. But I do feel like I have still do yet have a relationship with him or whatever like that. So that's me.
I like that.
Thank you.
Next. I can go.
All right, go ahead, Sam.
I'm working on my relationship with God because I don't think that we're the closest as we could be, but I am working on it to try to improve it.
So, welcome, CJ.
Well, what's going on, CJ?
What's going on with y'all? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Good. How about you, Israel?
I would like to say that I have a relationship with God, but it's an everyday thing for me because when I think of a relationship is a partnership, but it's also a relationship is kind of like a marriage. With us being in the body of Christ, then we are married to Christ. So it's something that we constantly have to work on and communicate. So my communication is just constantly trying to work on my prayer life, improve it more. And there's always room to do that. Even if you feel like you pray, there's always kind of room to kind of like communicate with him more. And also the thing with my relationship with God is kind of focused on more of like examining myself. Like, am I doing the things he want me to do? Because it's one thing to communicate in a relationship and ask for something, but what are you doing for the other significant other? Which in this case, we're talking about God. So what are we doing for God to improve that relationship so that he can do more for us? Because we're always, a lot of times when we go to God, we're looking for something, but what are we doing for him that will make us worthy for him to do something for us? So that's what kind of like my mindset is at with building my relationship with God. Am I doing enough or is it more that I can do in order to become, to improve the relationship with him?
I like that. I like that. How about you, Sade?
I definitely have a relationship with God. It's at its highest point right now that it's ever been for me. But just to add to his point, like definitely I feel like there's always more. It could always be stronger. It could always be better. There's always more I could do on my end. And then I also have to just acknowledge the fact that like, there's never going to be anything that I can do to deserve God's love, you know, and to deserve the things that he does for me. So I'm not going to try to be perfect, but I will live out my perfection through him. But it's definitely at its highest point. So
that's me. I like that. CJ?
Well, specifically with God, a relationship with him.
Do you feel like you're close? You have a close relationship with him? That's a question.
Do I feel like I do?
Yeah.
That was cool.
That's a question.
Well, right now, I think I'm at the point.
I'm coming. I'm keying in it. I got a key in the change trap. It was amazing.
Israel, could you get your phone?
Nah, I got it. I already did it. Go ahead.
You did.
But right now with God, I feel like there's still room for improvement, but I feel like I have a relationship with him. At any point, if I need anything from him, I know I can call him and he'll be there for me.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. For me, I feel like I have a good relationship with God and I do have a lot of confidence in God, you know. oftentimes when things come up, I have no doubt that things are going to work out, you know, and that's a lot of times. And I think the important part about having your own relationship with God is, and the reason why I say I have a relationship with God was the moment I realized I just want to always obey you. You know, it's not, I want this, I want that. It's just, I want to always obey you. And me saying that, I realized I had a relationship with him and I've grown a lot. Because at one point it was just like, man, I want wisdom, man. I want this, I want this, I want that. But it took a point in time where I realized you can have all that. You could heal people. You can prophesy. You can do all these things. But if you don't have that mindset to always constantly obey him, then it's all in vain.
Yeah, that's great. That's just like Solomon. He had all the wisdom and knowledge in the world and still, you know what I'm saying, forgot God.
And I think that's where that come from. You know, when looking at that story, how you're the wisest person God, you know, gave you the gift of wisdom. You're the wisest person, yet you fall. Mm-mm. So it just made me realize obeying him was more important than wisdom. Obeying him is more important than healing. But it come back down to whatever he say, do you do it? You know, that's where I'm at in God. No matter the trial, tribulation, how much money you got, how much you don't got, none of that. Are you obeying him? That's where I'm at.
Absolutely. Right?
So let's jump into the discussion. Like, I would like to know what does it mean to have a relationship with God? I know, like, some of the things you touched on, Robert, like how you want to be able to ask for something and receive it immediately or whatever. But, like, how do y'all know if y'all have a relationship with God for the people watching?
So you're asking, how do we know we have a relationship with God?
Oh, that's a good question, too.
Yeah, like, what is it? How did you, for the people who said that they do have the relationship with God, how did you know you had a relationship with God? What signified that? How do you know that you're in a relationship with God?
Well, I feel like...
Conviction is one thing.
I believe
that conviction is one thing. Knowing that, okay, when you're able to decipher and when you complete your daily acts throughout the day, you're able to see where God is able to show you where you went wrong at or something that you can improve on. Like when you're able to examine yourself, like self-examination is one of the first things of knowing whether you have a relationship with God, because before you could do anything, you have to make sure that you're doing something right or according to scripture. And if it's not lining up, God has a way of showing you that you're a little off track or you need to kind of tighten up on that. So that's one way of knowing you have a relationship with God, is when you're able to examine yourself or God able to show you through certain things, whether you're doing something according to scripture or not. So that's one way that I'm able to tell whether I have a relationship with God, because I'd be like, oh, wait, you know what? I probably could have approached that differently with this person. Or I probably shouldn't have done this that way. And you can kind of go back and look over it and rehearse it. So that's one way I know that I have a relationship with God.
Just to be clear, Israel, so what does it mean? What is conviction?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah. So conviction, like, okay, so you ever do something and you kind of like think twice about it, about what you did? Like, have you ever experienced that? Like, okay. Or consciousness, conviction, all of those kind of fall along the same lines. But you ever do something that you kind of like step back and be like, ah, why did I do that way? Or did you ever have like a second thought about something you did? Or have you ever, you know, took time and you kind of felt like a little, like you second guessed in your mind, why did you do something? Did you ever have that experience? I'm sure all of us at one point or another. So if we all had that, that's the righteous seed in you. So the Holy Ghost is what gives you, the Holy Ghost is the first, that's one level, that's the level of conviction, is the Holy Ghost. So profession of the Holy Ghost gives you, that's conviction there. But on top of that, the Holy Ghost is able to show you different things. So everybody has their own relationship with God, because the Holy Ghost helps, that's the relationship right there. by having the Holy Ghost because you're walking around with God in you. But then on top of that, throughout the day, if you allowing the Holy Ghost to work throughout your daily activities or whatever you're doing, whether you're going to work, school, whatever you're doing, each single thing you do, when you go back and pray, or even sometimes you may not even pray, you may meditate or whatever, God is able to give you the knowledge and he'll show you different things that you may have done and how you went about doing that to say, hey, you shouldn't have done it that way. Like that little voice inside or whatever it is, however it comes to each person, everybody have a different experience, but that's the conviction. And that's like your consolation of knowing that you have that relationship with God. Now, if you just don't have a conscience at all and you do something and you don't think twice about it, that's different. That's a relationship you probably have to work on. But every single thing you do, if it doesn't line up or it's a little shaky and it's kind of like a little off, you're going to get notification of it. Like you're going to get a notification. And that's how you know you have the relationship with God.
I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Who else?
Who else?
Well, I feel like having a relationship with God, you know, like loving him is like one of my top priorities. You know what I'm saying? Because you can do things just out of fear or just because of the fact that you think God is going to do this. You know what I'm saying? You may feel convicted because you're afraid of what God may do. Mm-hmm. But me personally, I want to feel convicted because I love him and I actually want to do for him as if he's my actual significant other in this natural life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
I like that.
You good.
That's right good. Now.
That's
well, y'all on here talking that talk. just to add to that, like, I feel like for me, I knew I had a relationship with God when basically just circling around what y'all were saying and hit on something that Jarrell mentioned, like, when you have that love and you just literally want to do what you know God will want you to do. Like you literally, it's just like, you have that conviction. You have that, just that sense of just like, I just want to do something that's pleasing for him. Like you're looking for things, new things to do that will please God. You're checking yourself like, does this match up? Does this match up? You know what I'm saying? You're asking God for clarity. Like I feel like that's when you know you have that true relationship and that true love for God. Because honestly, I mean, if we being honest, God has always wanted a relationship with us. It's not like we had to literally, I mean, you have to work, but it's not like you had to kill yourself to have a relationship. He was there, like waiting with open arms, and you just had to turn to him. And then just begin to have that relationship. Talk to him, just like you would have any other relationship. Talk to him every day. But yeah, that's me. Is there anyone who didn't go?
Mariah, I don't think Sam went.
I mean, you know, based off what everybody else said, you know, just how, you know, going back to the question, how do you know? I do feel like going off of what Israel said, conviction is a big one because if you're just in your daily life, we do things and at the end of the day, we have a sit down and it goes through us like, did I do this right? Or am I going about this right? Even just constantly wanting to please him and to, like everybody's basically covered it for me, but just constantly wanting to please him, to follow his word, even want to know more and learn more about him or whatever. I feel like lets me know that I have a relationship because I'm constantly seeking to find ways to better myself in him. It's all based around him. It's nothing for me or what I want. It's all, is God pleased? Am I strengthening this with God? Like it all has something to do with God. So maybe my thing is on me knowing how I have a relationship, or if you want to know, is it just God, or is you and what you want and maybe a little bit of God? Like what are you focused on in that relationship? Is it about God? Am I looking to please God? Am I looking to serve him? Like, or it's about, okay, well, this time I want to do this and I want to do that, and then next time we'll go to God for this. That's my.
I like that.
I like that.
I like that. Because it should always, you know, having that relationship with him, it should always be about him, you know? So even down to our daily decisions, you know, it's, you know, is this what God wants? You know, even big decisions, you know, hey, I honestly don't feel like doing this, but what do God want me to do?
Right.
Like, according to his word or according to his will, like, what do God want me to do? You know, even down to personal lifestyle living, you know, it's like you may be accustomed to certain things as far as how you live your life. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at and you have to look up and say, you have to examine it with the word and say, okay, is this what God wants? Based off how I live my life, is this what God wants? Mm-hmm. How I'm thinking, is that how, you know, people of God are supposed to think? You know, how I talk, is that how people of God are supposed to talk? And you mm-hmm. constantly just examining yourself according to the word.
Very true. And a lot of it too, like with the relationship with God, like add more to like to summarize what all of us kind of got into talking about is basically, do you have the fear of God in you? Because the fear of God is the beginning. Like you spoke on wisdom earlier. We talked about Solomon. Someone was mentioning about him. And basically, yes, to have wisdom. Wisdom is very important, and to have the fear of God, all of that stuff is important, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you fear him, automatically you have started your relationship off on the right track. So that's like a good question to ask yourself. If you're working on building your relationship with God, first of all, do I fear God? And do I need to increase my fear for him? Like, do I understand who he is? Because you can't fear something that you don't know or you're not aware of the dangers of it or whatever. Like, okay, we don't put our hand in fire because we know we're going to get burned. But do we actually, are we working on understanding a little bit more about God so we could increase our fear for him so that it could help us to submit and humble ourselves and work on acknowledging him more throughout like our daily lives, understanding who he is. And if we don't know who he is, are we working to improve that? Because you have to fear him first. In order to have wisdom and understanding of who he is, you have to fear him. That's my thing. So, you know, if you don't fear him, then you're not going to understand who he is and his infinite power, and you're not going to be able to improve your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What you about to say, Shardae?
I don't know. Okay. I feel like a lot of people, or maybe even younger people, who don't necessarily understand that statement. That's how their relationship with God starts off. There's this fear, you know, that your parents put in you, like, oh, you're gonna go to hell, or, you know what I'm saying, God don't like that you're going to hell. Like, it's always this hell. And so that's how that relationship with God starts off. It's just a fear. And so because of fear, they go to the altar every Sunday when they say, do you need to be saved? Because they just like, I don't know what I might have done, or I might have thought something wrong, I might have did something wrong. Or they just, everything they do is just coming from a place of fear. And I don't feel like fear and love can, that's not the same. They don't, yeah. So I'm not saying that your statement was completely wrong, Israel. I feel like I understand what you're saying. A lot of people may not though. And it's not, I don't feel like God necessarily wants us to fear us. I feel like there's a lot of things that sin brings that we should fear, or not even fear, because God didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm. He didn't give us the spirit of fear.
I want to, so, like.
And fear is torment. Fear is torment. He didn't give us the spirit of fear.
So
go ahead. Okay. Because I could clarify exactly what fearing something. So I'll clarify that. Because a lot of people think of fear, the first thing they associate fear with is, I don't want to go to hell. So the first thing with understanding God is, number one, anything that your parents have told you is not your relationship with God. That's based off of their experience. Like, okay, say I went to the Bahamas and I told each and every one of y'all, hey, it's beautiful. Like, y'all got to see it. Go to this place. That's my experience. That's not your experience. So that's my encounter of the place I went, or whatever information I've given y'all. Y'all can only go based off of what I told y'all. So same thing with your parents. Whatever your parents have told you, yes, not saying it's false or true or whatever. Whatever they told you, that's their understanding of who they understand him to be. Your fear with God comes based off of the testimony that God established in you through the things that he manifests in your life. Like, okay, for example, one of the reasons why I know I fear God, because I know that I can't do nothing without him. So before we even get to hell or anything like that, I understand that every single thing I do, that God is in control of how I move, how I walk, me waking up, being able to move, being able to breathe, talk, walk, all of those things is influenced by the power of God. And God have manifested itself like numerous times in my life in order for me to increase my fear of him and my love. So fear and love does have, because he want us to fear him.
Yeah.
Because you can't humble yourself. You can't humble yourself to something that you don't fear or you're not afraid of. So your relationship is going to be tainted if you don't fear him and you don't understand.
So here's the thing. And, you know, I don't want to.
He didn't give us the spirit of fear. But when he talked about he didn't give us the spirit of fear, he talking about fearing other powers and other dominions. But him, yes, he wants us to fear him.
Now,
because that's how you worship him.
Here's my thing. I guess it's like, and I don't want to talk too long because I want Sam to go. I want Rob to go. I see Mariah with the hand raised. She, you know, so I see this thing. The perspectives are coming. I think my thing is, so, and this is where I feel like young people, this is to encourage you. And so something that you should be aware of, but this is also to enlighten the elders to know you have to be wise as far as how you're teaching God. Because, you know, when you say fear, that word, you automatically think like shaking in your boots in the corner, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, fear God. I think it's a respectful fear.
I think so too. I agree with that one.
And when I say respectful
fear, I don't have to fear you. I respect you.
No, I think I disagree with that though, but I agree with Jarrell saying.
When I say a respectful fear, it's kind of like, you know, again, we call God Father. You know, it's just as if, you know, you had a father, and father, if your dad was to say, don't do this, or you getting your butt cut, you're not going to move. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to move. It's just a respect. It ain't like a, I'm shaking in my boots every time you walk, I'm trembling, but it's more so, it's just a respectful fear. Like, I know you can punish me. I know you can take the breath out of my body type of thing.
Right.
And that's what, and because that, if you have it like that, I believe you can keep the love in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you can love God all day long if it's like that, because it's just how you love your parents, despite having that respectful fear of mama don't play, dad don't play.
But that was a great point, Jarrell.
Go ahead, right. Sam, and also Rob. I see Mariah. Y'all just go.
You answered my question. My question was, is being scared and fear the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Rob.
You said he answered it right now.
Huh?
You said he answered it for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I think one thing that everybody missed out on is like whether you know whether you have a connection to God, is can you feel him inside of you? Can you feel him working on you? Can you feel him when you're praying? And when you're going out through your daily duties, I feel like that's one of the things that I feel like everybody missed out on, is can you feel them?
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel them working?
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Nice, I like that. So someone asked a question about fear and being scared.
Yeah, I think that question.
What you was gonna say, Mariah? I know you had your hand raised.
Well, while y'all was talking, I had two questions, and you kind of hit my, I had questions, but I also had a response to my question. And you kind of like said what I was thinking, because a lot of times when we talk about fear, everybody gets like this, it's almost like I got to be scared or afraid of him. And I don't feel like it's in that sense. It's not a scary, afraid thing, because I'm not scared of God. If God was, I'm just not scared of God in a manner like, oh my God, to God, no. But I do fear him out of respect. I try not to do things to disobey him or to go against him. So I do, you know, yeah. So Jarrell, you kind of just, that was my two just questions. Like, it's almost like why we got to be afraid of him, or why does fear have to be looked at as like a, I'm scared of him type thing in order to fear him type thing.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, to touch on something else that I was talking about earlier, because I remember Sade had a question about earlier about the 100, the 60, and the 30, right? And I feel like if you question that, you could just go to Matthew 13, and it kind of explains all that.
Well, and see, you know, I'm glad you brought that back up too. You know, and you know, everybody had their own perspective, but I feel like, you know, to determine if you have a relationship with God, right? You know, mm-hmm. I feel like, and I can't speak for everybody, but just based off of growing up and seeing how people look at different things, it's like you, and, you know, and I feel like especially the like young people, you know, you look at so many different relationships of God and you feel like, okay, having a relationship with God looks like that because they're on their knees 24/7 and they can do this or they got this title or, you know what I'm saying? And when they prayed to God, they made this happen and God did this. That's having a relationship with God. And it's just like, I feel you. I understand that's like a goal to have, but it's like having a relationship with somebody. It's kind of like a natural thing. If I have a relationship with this person, that don't mean my relationship got to look like the same that this one look like. My marriage is not going to look like this person's marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like it's more so determining. It goes back to what you want that relationship to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And just like any other relationship, you're going to get what you put in.
But I mean, but I disagree with you on that one, because I feel like even if you put all that work in, you still not gonna get to that level the other person is in.
That's what I'm saying. So it's more so who says I have to get to that level? I have to get to that level, you know, to have a relationship with them.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
Some people have to get to different. Because of their purpose.
That too.
Right, that's true too. I feel like everybody born here on earth, even before they was born, their destiny had been already decided. God already had a purpose for everybody while they're here, and they all here for a reason. So I feel like God preordained certain people to have a certain connection with him greater than other people.
Yeah.
And he works with certain people more than he works with other people. And that's just the natural, you know, balance of how God, you know, operates and how God works. And I just feel like you got to be able to accept the role. It's like everybody, it's like a team, right? You got the coach, you got the players. The coach ain't out there hooping. He ain't out hooping. He ain't balling. He ain't throwing the ball. He just writing down the plays, telling you what you need to do. And everybody got to fall in line in their role. So if your role is a pastor or an apostle, or your role just a minister, or your role just an usher or a choir member, everybody got to play their own role as a team collective to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To get the job done.
Absolutely.
And to please God. The ultimate goal is to please God and God be pleased with your duties. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you got to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing to be saved and God being pleased with it. And as long as you're doing that, you're good.
Right.
And just because God is using someone in a different way than he's using you, or what you would see as a greater way, that does not mean that he has a different love for that person, if that makes sense. It doesn't mean like, oh, he favors that person or he loves that person more than you. That wasn't your purpose. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I needed to say that because I could see how that could be taken that way. Like, oh, you use that person to do this and they making this amount of change and whatever. That doesn't change. God's love is not changed. Like, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't change his love for you. But yeah.
Absolutely.
I also want to say that, even going back to what Jarrell had said earlier, that's why I feel like you have to be mindful how you teach people, how we teach people about God and things dealing with God. A part of being taught, I can say from my own experience, it was looked at as even trying to have a relationship or connection or whatever thing dealing with God. I had to be like this, or I had to be like that, or it had to look like this, or had to be like that, because of how I was raised and how it was somewhat put out. But that wasn't necessarily correct. And so that's why I want to bring that back out, that how you teach people and how you maybe send a message to people really can almost be a hindrance to somebody really getting close or affecting their relationship. Because, you know, just I'm looking to be like, I'm going to use get to a spot of a preacher. Let's say a preacher's wife. She's in a special spot because she's the wife of a preacher. She has to keep a certain level to herself. And I'm looking to be like that on my knees. I get up, I pray in the morning. I pray before I go to bed. I pray in the middle of the day. I'm looking to be like that because it's being almost put as
forced upon.
Exactly. So it's like, that's not necessarily what I have to be. Just because I may not pray you know, night, morning, and in the middle of the day don't mean that whatever my relationship or my connection is not there. I don't necessarily have to do all of that because I'm not in that role, in that spot. I'm just trying to please God and serve him, really is what I'm trying to do. I feel like it's just really mindful how we teach people, how we put out a message, because we could mean one thing, but we have to sometimes help people understand what it means. And even with every topic that we've kind of discussed, the whole fear and God situation, you know, helping people understand what it means, you know, not right. Just saying you gotta do that. You gotta help people understand because they can get their own interpretation that might, and it might not be the right thing. And then they're still get to a spot that they necessarily may not have to be at this moment.
Yeah, because see, that's really good, Mariah. And I mean, I understand what you're saying with that. And I like what you were saying. That's, you don't want to like misinterpret it, because like a lot of people think like, okay, well, I don't have to, as long as I like do this, I don't have to really like fear or whatever, or like I don't want to, you don't want to misinterpret what fear is and what it actually means. Because being fearful of something and just being scared is when you're in a panic mode. When you fear something, you reverence it, you obey it. And like the scripture that I thought about when I think about fearing God, it says in Ecclesiastes, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So before you could keep his commandments, which is obeying him, you have to fear him first. So you have to fear him even when you start your walk with Christ. When you get baptized, that's a step in faith. So you took faith and you did something that a normal person wouldn't think to do. When you got down on your knees to pray and ask God for mercy and everything, you're fearful. When you're asking God for mercy, that's fear. You're pleading to him to do something for you, to help him with, to help you with something, whatever it is or whatever that state of mind you're in. You're looking for help. You're looking for deliverance, whatever you're looking for, but you have to fear him in order to obey him. It is impossible. Like no man can obey God without fearing him. Nobody, because they will be going against scripture. You have to fear him. So everyone has some form of fear if they obeying God and they walking upright with him. They have a fear of God in them. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily thinking like, you're fearful of his terror. Like you understand who he is. So every day that you obeying God or you doing something or whatever, like whoever your walk with Christ is, wherever it's at, if you're doing things that's pleasing in the sight of God, that means you fear him, because you can't obey him. You wouldn't have the knowledge to obey him if you didn't fear him. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't. Nobody have the knowledge to obey God unless they fear him. Like you have to fear him.
Here's my question. So if there was somebody out there right now that didn't believe or was new to God, what would you all say would be the first step?
I was literally about to say that. That's crazy. I was saying that in my mind.
Like, what do you all feel like would be the first step? CJ, I see you quiet over there, so I'm gonna just call on you, brother. What do you feel like? Yeah, you never said me. Yeah. also you too, Sam.
I feel like finding a witness, you know what I'm saying? A true witness. You know what I'm saying? In order to really, you know, like, I don't know, that's a hard question. Finding a witness, somebody that has a testimony to show you, you know, to reveal to you, you know.
I don't know, first step.
I don't think that's the first step.
I mean, everybody have
that. That sounds different, Robert.
Everybody had their own perspective. I'm not necessarily looking for a right or wrong answer, because right. Like for instance,
what was your first step?
Yeah, because the beautiful part about perspective is somebody able to take different answers and can say, okay, I can make the right decision based off this.
Mm-hmm. Right, but what I'm saying, if you're going off his perspective though, if you go around looking for somebody and you don't find nobody, then what you do?
That's why you're going to answer. That's why
we're about, that's answer. Why we're about to get.
That's why we're all answering.
Robert, but let me finish. Really? I feel like if a person doesn't believe in God, you know what I'm saying? Let's say an atheist is walking down the street. There is no way in the world that, unless God does something in their life to make them fear him or whatever, or introduce them, you know? So pretty much, I feel like finding a witness, because there's no way, like, let's say an atheist, you know what I'm saying, walking down the street, they're not going to have the mind to even, you know, even seek God, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like a witness, like, I don't, that's kind of a hard question to me.
I feel you
as well. It made me think of Peter.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Peter didn't have no walk with God, and God showed himself to Peter.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
No, not even Peter, though, Paul.
Yeah, I'm Paul, sorry, as yeah, well. Paul.
Yep. Yeah, Paul, not Peter, Paul.
Yep, my fault.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, Paul, like, that's why.
Paul had a relationship. He just didn't have the right. He didn't have the wisdom. He had a relationship because he was a Pharisee. So he knew the law perfectly, but he just wasn't following according to the apostle doctrine. He just wasn't on the right track. He knew he worshiped God. He prayed because the Pharisees prayed. They prayed 3 times a day. They did all of that according to the law. So he said he was doing, his testimony was he was doing it according to the perfect law. But he had a zeal of God, but it wasn't according to knowledge. That's why he wrote that.
Oh, man.
So he had the zeal. He had the zeal. It's just God had to shift his zeal to the right track.
Yeah. So,
like, he thought by persecuting the Jews, like, okay, no, y'all going to stay according to the Jewish religion. He just was late. He was on the wrong track. So God had to shift his zeal. So He had a zeal. It just wasn't according to knowledge. He had a relationship.
That makes another question come to mind. I promise you, Duke. I'm gonna let y'all finish.
Yeah, write down. Let him go. Go ahead. See.
It's in there, brother.
This is the last I'm gonna say. But like Israel just said, right? Basically, he was a Pharisee. You know, he didn't have the right, I guess, wisdom of God. And so, even if the witness that you know comes to you, or whoever the atheist finds, you know what I'm saying, or the person that doesn't really know God as well, if they even if they give their own perspective of, you know, like who God is, you know what I'm saying, God will lead you on the right track. Because you just said, he just said a zeal, right? You know what I'm saying? And God is going to honor that zeal because of the fact that you're looking for the truth. You know what I'm saying? God is wondering without the truth. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So he helped me out a lot. Thank you, Israel.
Like that. Yes, like that. How about you, Sam?
Can I hear the question again?
What do you feel like would be the first step to build that relationship?
You have to want to, because God is not going to make you force to get in a relationship with him. He will always love you, but he's not going to force you to get in a relationship. You have to want to get in a relationship with him, and seeking ways to get in a relationship, like reading the Bible and talking to different people that are knowing of God and knowing his son. And yeah.
I like that.
You're wise, girl. You're wise.
Come on now.
Stamp.
Who else?
Oh yeah, I guess I'll go. I feel like the first step is to, like, and normally I feel like a lot of time, and in a lot of cases, that normally what happens, the first step for a lot of people is like you're in trouble, and because you're in trouble, you're trying to pray, you need something to work out for you, and you praying to God. I feel like that's a lot of people's first steps. You know what I'm saying? Like, they in trouble. They got in big trouble. They about to go to jail. They about to get killed. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. Huh?
What's your first step?
I feel like I was born and raised in church. Yeah, so,
it's different. It's different.
You got a relationship with God.
Huh?
Oh, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah, that don't. That's not a. Yeah.
Like, we're talking about the first step. We're not talking about.
I guess the question would be, even if you're raised in the church, do you feel like that fear factor still exists for you to build that relationship despite being raised in the church?
You asked me, do
go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Everybody's going to interrupt me on my take.
No, go ahead, Robert. That's what I said. Go ahead, Robert.
So yeah, so back to originally what I was saying. I feel like a lot of times when you're in trouble, that's I know so many stories of where people, you know, they in trouble, and to get out of trouble, they start praying, and they, you know, they really start praying then to, you know, get help. And I feel like that's a lot of people's first step. And I feel like a lot of times that's when you really, it's really effective in those times. I'm not saying it's ineffective in any other time, but I feel like when you really need help from somebody and then that person step in to help you, It's like you like got this newfound love. Like, dang, I'm so appreciative of what you did. And like you like want to please them. Like you want to thank them back. Like they give you some money, they get loan you some money. Like, dang, you helped me out in this tough bond. When I get my money back, I'm gonna pay you back. It's like one of those situations. And I feel like that's like a lot of times that's the case for a lot of people, you know, being in that situation and you know, you trying to pay God back in a sense, like by serving him or, you know, reading his word or trying to obey what he's saying, things of that nature. I feel like that's a lot of people's first step. So the first step I believe is, you know, praying to God. Honestly, I think that's the first step. Praying and trying to build a connection with God. It should be the first step. Because before you can, you know, get baptized or any other things, you got to first have that connection with God and want to fear God and want to please God.
I like that. I see. Sam, you got your hand raised?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's different because I see a lot of people, like elders of mine, that pray. And I've always wondered, like, is there a right way to pray? Like, is there a particular way to pray?
That's a good question.
I like that question. I like that question. Now,
oh, go ahead.
Okay.
I think Shawty wanted to answer it, Drew.
Okay, go ahead.
It's okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just trying to listen right now.
Well, Sam, I would say, because I feel like I understand the place that you're asking from, and I think there's two ways to answer that question. So one, yes and no. So no in the sense of you don't have to be in the church or in a specific place, in a specific posture, like physically, when you're praying, you can pray right now. You can literally, we're all talking and you just decide that you wanna just send up a prayer to God. I do feel like there are ways, in the sense of when you come to God, your posture and that you should be humble and that you shouldn't have any unforgiveness in your heart. And that when you pray that you should pray in the name of Jesus. But as far as where I feel like the place you were asking from, like there is no specific place. And I feel like a lot of people put that in people's minds. I know when I was younger, I used to think like, it has to be the right setting. I gotta have the right feeling. If I'm not feeling it, I can't pray. If I'm not emotional, I'm not praying right. If I'm not crying, I'm not praying right. And that's not true. Like you don't have to be emotional. You don't have to be in the church, you know what I'm saying? You can pray anywhere and you can pray. It doesn't even have to sound a certain way. God, the Bible says God even hears your, like he understands your groans. You know what I'm saying? Like he understands all of that. You don't have to articulate it a certain way. He understands what you mean. You're his child. So just like you wouldn't have to become a different person to talk to your mom or your father, it's the same with God. But yeah, that's my commentary on that.
And I'm right along with that as well, because people, I feel like some just feel like in order for you to have a great prayer life or for you to be praying, you know, some people think, okay, you just have to always be on your knees. You know, when I pray, sometimes I wake up and I don't even open my eyes before I even greet my wife and I'm laying in my bed praying. Sometimes I'm in the shower praying. I'm talking about sometimes I'm driving. Praying. Sometimes I'm at work and sometimes if I go get to work early, you know, I just get on my knees right there, you know, praying. Like it's not just in a certain place. It's not, you can always pray. You can always pray. You can always get there.
You know, another thing too, is what you have to realize as well is just cause you didn't get your answer immediately, don't mean like God didn't hear your prayer either. So just in case, just because you pray right now and, you know what I'm saying, you really poured out your heart before God and God didn't answer it immediately right when you prayed. Like, if I prayed, I want this job tomorrow. God didn't give you this job or God didn't give you this car or God didn't give you, you know, this money tomorrow. It don't mean that God didn't hear you or God not listening to you or God's not pleased with you. He has his own way and time of working things out for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, absolutely. Y'all, we've been talking a lot.
I like that, Robert.
Y'all been Y'all been really coming out with it. I ain't gonna lie, this has been a great, but I think we need to take a break.
Yes. All right. What's going on, Millennial Talks family? This is your main man, Jarrell Taylor. I just wanted to say, check out our anchor link in the description. You can check us out on multiple platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and so much more. You can even become a supporter or simply leave a message and we can respond to you live on the podcast. Last but not least, leave a review and let us know how we've been doing. Thank you so much. You have a good one. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of Millennial Talks. I'm Charlotte Figures.
It's your main man, Jarrell Taylor.
Robert Crawford.
Let's go. Right now, we're in a panel discussion. We have CJ, Mariah, Sam, Israel. We all are here discussing how to build a relationship with God or have a relationship with God. Thank you for tuning back in. And Charlotte, let them know the next question.
All right, y'all. Let's just jump right back on in.
Jump right back in the fire.
Right.
Oh, don't jump in the fire now. Don't jump in the fire.
Yo, I came with y'all. So everyone, I want everyone to answer. What was your point in life where you decided that you were going to turn to God and you were going to completely commit your life to God, or at least attempt to, you know, fully turn your life over to God and do what you feel is right, or that He would be pleasing to Him?
You know, I think I started off. I feel like the turning point for me was when I was really young. Like, I grew up in church, so I grew up listening to the preaching about how everybody going to hell if you don't do what's right. Da 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 da. So for me, it's like when I got to that conviction in my heart to like, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I feel like the turning point for me was when I got baptized. When I got baptized, it's like I made a conscious decision, like. Like, I want to go down this path of righteousness. I want to go down this path of holiness. So I feel like, for me, that was my turning point.
Okay. Who's next?
I can go next.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I would say, actually, I was trying to think of something when I was, like, younger. Because, I mean, I went through a lot younger. That kind of turned me. I was like, you know, I want to get serious about God. But actually, recently, there's been some uprising. Misunderstandings and me wanting to learn God and know God for myself and not just having somebody tell me something or whatever like that. And because of those different things, it's making me want to become more serious and build a stronger relationship and move closer to God. So I have my own understanding. It's not just somebody telling me something or so I would know. So I feel like I'm currently going through a stage where I want to be more committed so I can know and understand who God is and what His word means and different things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Who next?
I might have to stop waiting for give me a second. I'll mute my phone.
Oh, I'm saying he was talking. But I ain't gonna lie, when I was younger, I grew up in church, but I can say that when I was younger, my aunt, she used to talk a lot about like God and stuff. And I used to be so pricked in my heart because I was younger then, you know, and I was very scared. So I was like, bro, I'm finna go to hell. So like, you know,
was I got to get saved.
So that I feel like when I was younger, you know, that's when I got, you know, like I was like, I need to do better for God, even though I was already, because I was always a child that would run around the church, jump and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But after I heard about hell, and how it was, you know, described, I was like, yeah, I gotta get,
I like that. I like that. All right, you wanna go, Sam?
Yeah. So I grew up in church. My dad was a minister, so it was this certain type of pressure to like, oh, you gotta know God.
Oh yeah, that's very true. As a child, oh boy, they expect you to be an angel.
Yeah, so but recently I just started to gain a relationship with Him because I've been feeling very sad lately and I don't want to feel that way the rest of my life. So I've started talking to God so I won't feel that way anymore, and talking to Him and seeing how I can make me feel better and stuff like that.
I love that.
Love it.
That's awesome.
I love that. Go ahead, Shardae.
I'll tell two separate things. So when I was about 16 or 17, I think, I remember I was in church. Well, I grew up in the church as well, but it started with that fear, of course, just like QCJ. But I was in church one night. I was at Bible study one night, and I remember the preacher. I had been saved so many times. Like they do the altar calls. I always go up. I didn't know that you only need to be saved one time. But I think the preacher, he just asked a question that really like pierced me. Like he literally just said, "Is there anyone in here who, if you were to die tonight, you don't know the heaven or hell?" And that really got me. I was like, "Oh, yeah." So I remember I raised my hand. I think I was the only one. And so yeah, I ended up becoming a member to the church. I ended up getting baptized and everything. But of course, like you were saying, right? Like we all like have our points where we turn or we sin or we fall short. So recently, literally probably like almost a year ago, I really went in. Like I really started searching for him for myself. Like literally it was like, I want to know you. I need to know you for myself. So I wasn't going to any churches necessarily looking for it. I really was like, I want to know it from you yourself. So I dived into the word, and you know, I built that relationship with God, and now it's just really at its height. And I thank God that I got to that point that I was in during that time to where I seeked him in that way. So yeah, I would say really like seriously about a year ago.
I love it.
What about you, Jarrell?
Okay. Also, is Israel there still? Or? Okay, it's all good. So for me, there was two things. There was a conversation that I had, you know, and I was saying I wasn't in no church or anything like that at the time. And someone just asked me, you know, they said, you know, you want to have a relationship with God? I was like, duh, you know, I'm on my own journey. I'm doing my own thing. I'm seeking God for myself. And they was like, okay, all right. How you gonna do that if you don't ever seek no information? You don't go nowhere. Oh, well, I don't know. And it let me know that I was faking it. Like I really wasn't serious. Like I really wasn't trying to build a relationship. It let me know that I wasn't committed at all to even seek God or to truly go after him. You know, I wasn't trying to get any information. I wasn't trying to learn nothing. And that was a turning point for me when somebody held me accountable, you know, to be able to just reach out to even start building that relationship, to really even start praying like that, you know. And I believe my next thing was, I want to say this was the moment where I built this relationship and really got committed. Was definitely when you know, just going through the homelessness, you know, just having nothing else to lean on. And for me to just say, man, I got to push all my chips in. I just got to give it all to God. I just got to put him first. I got to seek him first, you know? And as I was doing so, I never forget one of my closest friends, I think I was just joking around at the time. And I was just like, man, I'm done, or whatever I said. And he was just like, if you're done, I don't know what else I'd do because I'm looking at you.
Wow.
And wow. I was like, it let me know that, and this what, you know, again, this what made me get more serious and commit even more, because kind of going back to what we were saying the last episode, what you do affect the culture. You know, like, because you say you believe in God, you're God's representation.
Yeah.
When you do something wrong, when you do something contrary, and you say you believe, you say you holy, you say you whatever.
Boy.
People look at you look at God a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You're not just bringing a reproach on you, you're bringing a reproach on God. There are certain people that don't believe in God to this day because of what Christian folk or holy folk, what believers did. They say, oh, well, if God so this and that and the third, then why is these type of people doing this? Mm. If he's so great. Mm. And it just lets me know what you do affects the culture. And one of my main goals now is I don't want to make God look bad. I don't want to make God look bad. Because if there's ever somebody with a question, if there's ever somebody that want to seek him or want to build that relationship with him, I don't want them to look at me and say, mm-mm. And I think that's what made me get so serious about it.
That's a great point, bro.
Is Israel still there?
Israel, you there?
I feel like another thing too, I feel like is like, I think I definitely felt that pressure being that I grew up in the church. And I feel like people, and that's the crazy part right here. If people used to recognize me as somebody that goes to church, even though I didn't portray myself as somebody that goes to church, you see what I'm saying? I used to be going around doing bad stuff, really. And people would recognize like, oh, you go to church. And that would really always eat me up. It's like, dang, I'm so hard trying to do this, do that. And they still recognize me as a church person. You see what I'm saying? So now it's like, is their opinion of church people is like, based off what they see from you. It's like, oh, this is how church people act. Oh, if this, I seen a Christian the other day. They acting the same way I'm acting. I'm a Christian too.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a great.
Absolutely. And that lets you know, like, oh Lord, if you're going to go this journey, if you're going to take this walk, you're going to have to be held at a higher standard. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be held at the higher standard.
Absolutely.
And you're held at that whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. People looking at you, you're a representation and a reflection of God.
Yep.
And I feel like even for preachers, it's even more important for you too.
Yeah. Because you're definitely an example. You're like a messenger of God at that point.
Yeah. And what you do, again, that's a big reflection on the culture. If people see the preacher messing up, they're going to say, oh, ain't no way. Ain't no way. But that's just my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's speaking the gospel, bro.
Yeah, Jabril, first of all, I like that, what you said. And I mean, I have, mine is like twofold of when I realized, one of them is kind of similar to what, you know, Jabril was talking about. One of my experiences came when I was in college. And when I was in college, I kind of like, I had done left the church. I grew up in the church, but I left like years ago and it was against my own accord, but still nonetheless. So I was in college and, you know, just living my normal life, doing the things that just what I wanted to do and whatnot. And it was a certain instance where I just started experiencing like different things. Like I would be a certain place that the normal child of God would not be, or I would be doing something that a child of God would not be doing. And like, I would have like different like flashes across my mind and different things, but I would try to like brush it off. Like, and sometimes I would find myself like staring off into like space, and my friends would just ask me like, hey, what's going on? Or my frat brothers would say, hey, what's going on with you? And like, I knew that God was dealing with me, but I was trying to kind of like not pay it attention or whatever. So it was a particular on winter break when I went on a trip, I had kind of like heard a little bit about coming back to church and I came and visit, but I still was in like fully serious. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna just go up to like, I'm gonna go up to one of the services and I'm gonna just go. And I told like everybody I was gonna go. And they was like, all right. So I was riding and I changed my path. I ended up going, instead of me going to the service, I ended up going somewhere else. I went to see my frat brother in Pittsburgh and I was like up there partying, having a good time with him. Everything went well, trip was perfect. On the way back, like I got into like a life and death situation. Like my car went over like black ice and my car started to spin out of control. And I didn't have no control of the car at all, like none. Like, I mean, it was nothing I could do. My car just sliding down this steep hill, like this steep mountain in West Virginia. And like, I'm like, my mind is just like all over the place. I don't know what to do, nothing. Like I didn't have no control of the car. And like, I look to, like, I'm looking up the hill, like, as my car's spinning, and it's like a tractor trailer coming full speed down at me. And like, I know that God was dealing with me because like, God had me in a position to where like, all I could holler was like, Jesus, because I didn't, it was nothing else. I was helpless. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I was just like, I yelled out Jesus, like, and my car like just spun and stopped on the side of the road, and the tractor trailer went flying by. And like, I paused for a minute, I just sat there. And then when I realized what happened, like, you know, I was just like, thank God, thank God. I kept driving, my car stopped again. But this time it was in like, because I spun out of control tonight, my car just cut off in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have no cellular signal, no signal for my cell phone. Couldn't get in touch with nobody. It's like a blizzard. I didn't even know where I was. And like, I'm just sitting there like talking to God, telling him I'm sorry. I should have did this. I should have did that. And I'm like, Lord, if you just like deliver me, like I'll go after you. And I didn't have the Holy Ghost at that point. Like, I was just like, Lord, if you just give me a chance to do better and like focus on you more, like if you just deliver me out of this situation, I'll do it. Like, I'll try harder. I'll serve you. Like, I'll do it. And, you know, like somehow out of nowhere, like, I don't even know where the car came from. Like, somebody randomly came walking from someplace. Like, I got out the car. I tried to start my car. I knew I had gas in the car. The car was like, no oil problems, nothing. It's just the car cut off. So I knew it was like, once again, God, like showing himself like, oh, okay. So you think you're going to do what you want to do? Like, and I'm sitting there like, no, I'm going to do better. Like, Lord, just please. Like, I'm sitting talking back and forth with him. And my car still didn't start. I was just like, Lord, please, I'm saying in the name of Jesus, all this different stuff, trying to like, because I knew I was in trouble. And I'm sitting here trying to like find ways to like appease God. But I got in the point where I just got really sincere. And I was just like, Lord, please help me. Like, just please. I started like getting to a point where I was begging, and I'm like freezing cold outside, begging him. And something just told me like, get back in the car, go ahead. And when I got back in the car and cranked it, the car started up. And like, I got back to South Carolina as fast as I could. The next few days, I started tarrying for the Holy Ghost. And like, that was a whole nother experience in itself, because like, I had already done made a promise to God that I would try. But at school, I like knew a lot of people. Like, I was the president of my organization. So I knew I had to break away, but I was still trying to find a way to like not let them know that I was kind of turning and still trying to make it work. But God just kept reminding me like, hey, you already told me you was going to try. So like, I didn't want to like mess up what I had already done, commit to God. So like, I just slowly started trying to withdraw myself, but I was living in the same house with him. So like all that, like I end up like tarrying for the Holy Ghost inside the house with like my frat brothers in the house with me. Like, some just told me, just go in your room, close the door, lock it, and just start like calling on my name. And that's what I did. That was like one serious incident where I just took a full turn, where like, I would say that's one of the moments in my walk with Christ where I just like turned and like just started going after God. Like, and it took like boldness, because I did not want to do it. Like, my natural self didn't want to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because I was kind of like trying to appease like the people I knew and like please God. But like, God just showed me like, okay, you can't serve me and him. You're going to serve one or the other. And that kind of like was one of my turning points.
Wonderful.
Like one of my major turning points.
I
love it.
Bro, that had to be, really honest with you, bro, that had to take so much boldness. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, they already have this image of you in their head already. They're like, Israel the cool person, Israel the party guy. You know what I'm saying? And to like change all that. And because I know when you was praying in your room, they was thinking like, oh, it's something wrong with him. He must be dying. Yeah. Something going on. We called ambulance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that was while I was like calling God, like I'm sitting there just calling out Jesus, like saliva coming out of my mouth, like everything. You know how it is when you like tarrying, like, and I was serious. And like, yeah, they sitting there banging on the door, like, you all right, bro, what's going on in there? Like, and that distraction, and like the adversary kept telling me, like, just get up and let them know like you good and go back to what you're doing. Like, but I didn't want to stop, because I had gotten in a place in my mind where I was like, I was so serious. And I didn't want to mess up. I felt like at that point in the relationship where I was at with God, like he had already given me another chance. It's like when you're in a natural relationship and you know you made a mistake, and that person is like, your relationship is on edge, but you get an opportunity to fix it. Like, from then on, you want to do everything you possibly can not to lose that person that you really care about.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't want to lose it. And absolutely, that's how I felt. Like, with God, I was just like, you know what? I do not want to lose you. Like, you done gave me a chance. You didn't have to, because I was the one that broke the commitment. I was the one that was wrong, but you're giving me a chance. So I'm going to show you that I'm going to do better. And I was so determined, like, at that point, to just, like, show him that, okay, I'm really committed to, like, doing something about it. And, I mean, I just got in that mode, like, where I just, like, but it was that was, like, one of the most challenging for me. And, like, it go back to what, like, what Jarrell, what you were saying. Like, I mean, I felt like every single move I made at that point, because when I started to start my walk with God again, and, like, I started going back to church and everything like that, I would come home from service, and I knew that my frat brothers, and I knew, like, my old friends or whatever, they were watching me, even on campus. They would watch to see, like, how I was moving. And it wasn't that I was doing it for show, because I knew I was serious, but I knew that, okay, I did something that was contrary or whatever, it would be for naught. Like, it would be like I brought a reproach on myself, and, like, I just disappointed God, because I just went through all of that. He saved me, did all that for me. Yeah. So I was like, now I have to be a light. Like, it became more serious for me. Like, it became more depth. It became more about, like, okay, now I can't make God ashamed, because that would be like putting him right back up on the cross. Like, absolutely, if I do something wrong at this point, it's like I let him down, like, completely. Like, so it became more serious for me, like, for the rest of my duration of college. Like,
and people take note of that. People take note of that, man. People really do. They take a lot of note of that.
And yeah, what you have to realize is, like, your light really encourages other people to get where you are, or to become what you are, or to have that connection with God that you have.
Yeah.
Because they're watching you. Like, when they're watching you, they like, dang, okay, I see he pray at 6 o'clock. Okay, sure, I'll pray at 6 o'clock too. See if I get what he get. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. Like, we are all ambassadors of God. We have to really show, you know, God in a good light, in a good sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even how you react to adversity, you know, how you react to adversity, or through your, you know, natural test or spiritual test, how you react, and that's a reflection on God. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. God probably building you up. You don't know what God doing, you know, as he's taking you through that test. So, you know, again, you know, as far like, be committed, and then stay committed, you know, no matter the
fact. It takes a lot of discipline, too. Great point. It takes discipline, too. Being committed, but you also have to be disciplined. Yeah. Because it's things that you're going to be, like, challenged with to do it again. And being tempted doesn't mean that you exactly sin. Because it's going to, something that you overcome is going to come back around to you. Absolutely. I can show you, you can overcome something that you been got rid of, like, 3 years ago. It may come back to you again. And your discipline and how you react to it, like you said, Jarrell, is definitely going to tell a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'll be right there. Stay on with the one you on right now. That's fine.
Everybody good? Anybody got anything to add?
I got a question.
Oh, Mario. Yes, ma'am.
What's your question?
So, how do you know if God is speaking to you? Like, how do you know? Is it just like a thought, or is it like a presence?
I love it.
That's a really good question, though.
Because
I love it.
That's a good question.
I feel like it's no definite answer, though. I feel like he can speak to you in a lot of ways. Like, you can hear, like, even for, like, For Adam and Eve, they heard God, and God spoke to them in a still, calm voice in the Garden of Eden. So they heard him. And a lot of times it could be a thought, or it could be God does something to you as a sign to show you that I'm trying to get your attention. Like even with Elijah, when he was sleeping and he kept hearing somebody call his name. Oh, was it Elijah's servant?
And
he kept hearing somebody call his name, and then Elijah was like, next time you hear somebody call your name, say,
let me add.
Wait. Based off, I'm gonna say that, because we can give Bible, and, you know, we can go off these things, but let's really go off personal experience, because I feel like that's important because you, even though you read these things, it don't really tell you how do you know.
Right.
You know, so you, you really got to go off your own experience on this one.
Did you have a personal one, Robert? Or can I ask?
Yeah, I mean, it's a, I have a lot of personal experiences.
Go ahead.
I'll give you a perfect one right here. So one time, I was, I think this was like right when I first got the Holy Ghost, I believe. Just one, like literally, like I got the Holy Ghost. It was a Sunday night. I think I got the Holy Ghost Sunday night. It was right before my birthday because I think the Monday was the 16th was my birthday. And I wanted the Holy Ghost before I turned 13. 13, because 13, like in our church.
Okay, come on now.
At 13 is when you become like, you join a group of other young people called teenagers. So at that point, I was like, I want to be a teenager, right? But in order to participate and really like be in that group, you really have to have the Holy Ghost. So I remember I prayed and whatever, I got the Holy Ghost that Sunday, and my birthday was that Monday. So like literally, like this is my first week of having the Holy Ghost. Like, so I remember I was going downstairs. Like, I don't remember what was going on. I was going downstairs and I literally heard something like, don't go down there. So, but me being myself, see, I feel like me being new, it was like almost like I felt like I just heard something, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this is weird. Oh, what is this? But it was like, just go, don't go down there. But, you know, just being myself, you know, I'm oblivious to, because this is my first time with the Holy Ghost. So I don't really don't know what to expect or whatever, whatever. I'm thinking like life can go on as normal. I'm going downstairs. And I'm going upstairs, and these dudes just started playing around, play fighting, whatever, whatever. So you know, just being me, I'm watching them laughing, joking, whatever, whatever. And the dude because me personally, I like talk smack all the time, so I'm talking smack to the guys, whatever, whatever. So dude was like, oh, okay, what's up? See me one on one. So I was like, nah, I really ain't trying to. Then he, yeah, what's up, bro? So I'm like, bro, nah, bro, listen, bro, you need to relax with all that. So at that point, oh, we got to fight now. So we out here fighting that thing about it. So it's like, I felt so bad in myself, in my spirit. Cause like, I just got the Holy Ghost, right? And like, this is the first week I'm out here fighting and I got to go to the principal and I got to call my dad and tell him I'm out here about to get suspended for fighting. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and it's all because I just didn't obey that voice that said, don't go down there. If I didn't go down there, I could avoid all that.
So for you, it was audible. So you heard a voice.
Yeah.
So it's like you didn't really know. I'm sorry if I interrupted. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna, and I think I'm about to say basically what you were saying, Jarrell, but like, okay, so you heard a voice, but basically, Sam, there are different ways that you can hear from God. God can speak to you. I've never heard God like in an audible voice, but I believe that you can. God can speak to you through someone else. It can be a thought. He can convict you and give you a feeling. And all conviction just means like you're reminded of who you are in Christ or who you are in God. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like for me, I was good once I stopped worrying about, well, what does God sound like? Or well, not necessarily what does he sound like? Or when do I know I hear God and start focusing on what he sounds like? And so if you know what God is going to sound like, then you'll know when you're hearing him, no matter what form you hear him in. So you have to ask yourself this question in any situation. Is this me? Is this God? Or is this the devil? The more that you're in God's word and that you're building that relationship with God, you're going to start sounding like God because you're going to start wanting what God wants for you. God is going to always sound like his word. That's why it's so important to read the Bible and know God's word, because he's never going to tell you anything that contradicts his word. So if you hearing something that's saying, they don't need to know all that lie. Is that God? No, that's not God. If you hear a voice saying, oh, go ahead and take it. Ain't nobody going to miss that. Steal that. That's not God, because that's against his word. So if that's why it's important to read God's word, because you're going to know, like, when I hear this or I have this feeling, okay, that's God. Or if it's contradictory to the Bible or God's word, that's not God. And so the more that you're reading that word, you're going to want what God wants for you. So sometimes it's you, but either way it goes, you and God will at one point come and be on one accord, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, like, he doesn't have a particular sound. Like, everyone hears him different.
Right. Or he can, you can, it doesn't
have to be. He can show up manifest himself differently.
It doesn't have to be you hear God's voice. It could be I heard a voice, or it could be I had a feeling, or it could be I know God spoke to me through my friend. You know what I'm saying? Or it could be I had this conviction and that was the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? It could be different ways that God speaks to you.
Not a little.
So don't always look for it to hear a voice.
Yeah. It's not a literal thing. It's because I know something with me. I've had a lot of times where God hasn't literally like came in my ear and been like, Mariah, you need to do this. But, you know, a conscience or whatever we want to say it is within me is like, you know, it might not be the best decision to do that. And to me, that is God or my Holy Ghost or whatever in me speaking to me. But it's not necessarily a voice that I hear. So when I think about speaking and, you know, stuff like, I don't think of it literal, because even with God, God is not a literal type person or thing. It's not a tangible thing. It's a more of a spiritual aspect with him. So when you think about God speaking to you, don't really even think about a literal hearing, because everybody doesn't hear God. Everybody doesn't have the opportunity for God to come and speak to them one-on-one actually and respond or tell them something. Everybody don't experience that. So,
but I feel like the main way he speaks to you is through the scriptures, as so they said, you know? Like even in the Bible, if you read the Bible, it has in the text, you know, it makes it red to show you that God is speaking, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
So Bible, literally everything is coming from God. It's just coming from somebody else's perspective. And if you read into the Bible, you will see when God talks to different people in the Bible and stuff. So yeah,
that's really a great point, CJ. Cause I feel like one time, like I was going through something and I literally just opened the Bible. Literally, like I didn't go to a certain scripture or nothing. All I did was open the Bible and I was just reading on my own. And it was literally right where I was reading was the encouragement for me going through the situation I was going through. And it was literally just me opening the Bible.
Yep.
So, like, God works in so many ways.
And back to what, I'm sorry, whoever was talking. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I just want to add another perspective on it, because I do feel like this is important, even though I feel like this is, I'm not going to say advanced, but I'm just going to say it's important. You just have to still be careful no matter what, because, you know, you'll probably hear from anybody, you know, oh, God's speaking to me right now and I just feel this way, or, you know, oh, this coming to mind, oh, I feel like in my spirit this is, you know, somebody tell, like God is telling me this, or, you know, it's just different things. You still have to, again, and that's where it comes with that relationship with God for yourself, because you can't just go with what anybody give you. You see what I'm saying? Like, and I don't, you know, this not to, you know, I don't care who you are. You, my own wife, you know what I'm saying? It, a preacher, it don't matter. You know, when you say God tell me something and you telling me that thing, don't just think I'm going to just take it and run with it. No, it don't work like that. I told you, you might want to tell him to tell me too. So seriously,
I'm like, tell me anything,
you know.
Yeah.
But and I say that's why it's so important to have that relationship and build that relationship with God for yourself, because even though somebody may tell you something or you feel like you may hear something, you still can just try that spirit, you know, just making sure you know it for yourself, regardless, you know. And as far as just knowing when God is talking, I believe God is one where when he talk, you gonna listen. Not only are you gonna listen, but if it takes him to prove himself, so be it. You know what I'm saying? I could be honest and say, I feel like God has spoke, and there's been times where I'm like, I don't know. Can you confirm it for me?
He showed me another sign. Hey, little Jarrell, you prayed for a sign. He's like, oh, wait, no, show me another one just in case.
Yeah. And I'm and you know, and that could be one of two things. That could show how much I believe in him, or that could show I need something, you know.
And I need a little bit more faith.
I just need some more faith, because overall, when I move off God, and I feel like this is why God look out for a brother, because I'm sincere. I honestly just want to go off what you say. I honestly want to go off of you. So I'm just want to make sure. I don't want it to be my flesh. I really honestly want to go off you. I want to go off your word. I want to go off your spirit. So I need you to confirm it for a brother sometime. I need you to look out.
And then to CJ's point earlier, like as far as what he thought or what he said, the first step was once you start reading your Bible more, Sam, of course, because you know you're a babe in Christ, seek understanding from someone who's been there or someone that you trust now. You can't just hear from everyone, but seek understanding because it means nothing if you're reading it and you don't understand.
Exactly.
You
know,
you have to understand. You're not going to understand everything. So seek that knowledge from someone else or that wisdom from someone else who you trust and you know they're further along in their journey with God.
And just to add on another perspective to that as well, and I have to because it's such a, when you ask that question, it's such a fine line. And if I can be completely transparent and honest, there may be some people that you trust that don't have it right.
So still try to spirit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people that you trust that don't have it right. Lord Jesus. So it's so important to, and that's why it's so important to get it for yourself, you know, because, and yeah, that I'm gonna just leave that there because you could trust them. They could, you know, you could grow up with them for all your life, but they could still be wrong. They could still be doing something not right. They could still be doing something. This could be your best friend and they could do something still contrary. You see what I'm saying? So you just have to be careful. You have to be careful. Go ahead, CJ. I'm sorry, man.
But also, you can't, I mean, you got to be able to trust your preacher, your pastor, whoever, but that's not the only person that can reveal or help you understand the word. You know what I'm saying? Jarrell may help me better than, you know, another preacher, you know, that has preached. You know what I'm saying? Jarrell has opened my eyes to things that some preachers haven't even been able make me understand, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't really come from, you know, it does come from the preacher, you know what I'm saying? But that's not always where your understanding comes from. It can come from anybody, you know? Even from a baby.
It can come from a baby. And exactly. And to be transparent, sometimes I've gotten some of my greatest lessons in God. It could be something from, you know, and this may just be how God just deal with me. But I can watch the same cartoon. We can watch the same cartoon and I will come with a different thing coming up out of that.
That's true.
That's true.
I'm so serious. Like God just deal with people differently. We can read the same book. And I come up with something completely different. Completely. Matter of fact, if I had to be specific, I know we definitely far in time, but there's a story with Malcolm X that I looked at. And, you know, a lot of people, when they see this story, they always think, man, you know, racial injustice and stuff like that. Oh man, Malcolm X was this type of guy and all those things. But one of the greatest things that I looked at and got from that movie was this specific topic as far as, you know, being that relationship with God, being led by God. How he was so into this prophet, so to speak. He was, oh, Malaja said this. Malaja taught me this. Malaja said this. And under Malaja Muhammad, I learned this and this, that, and the third. And then there was a point in time where he found out Elijah Muhammad or whatever was sleeping with all these women and was having all these children. And he realized when that thing cracked his mind, he looked back and he said, wow, everything that I've been saying, it's always been Elijah Muhammad said this. Elijah Muhammad said that. But what did God say that we serve?
Exactly.
You know, and when people looked at this movie, they got the whole black, white racism on us. I got the biggest spiritual lesson in my life from that movie. From that story. And I was just like, wow. Whoa. So again, that just goes back to show you God can deal with you in a different way. God can deal with you right in school, in the history book, in class. He can just deal with you in a different way.
Which also has to deal with your going back to our
relationship.
It all based on your relationship. Whatever your relationship is with him, he deals with everybody differently based on that relationship you have with him. That's just like Jarrell can read a story. I can see, a lot of times I've experienced where I watched a person do something and they might've just been doing something real simple as they, just simple, but something came out of that for me through something somebody was doing. So God just deals with everybody differently. And I do feel like that goes back to our initial thing. The relationship we have with him that deals with the way he deals with us. He speaks to us. Our connection with him, it's all based on our relationship with him.
Our walk with Christ.
Yeah.
And if you think about it though, nobody really opens up your understanding. You know what I'm saying? Not even the preacher, it's God that's opened up your understanding. That's what makes it not a specific person that opens up your understanding.
That's God.
God can use anybody to open up your understanding.
That's true.
So it's not really a specific person or
thing.
Yeah.
It's all God.
He can use my shoe. You know what I'm saying? Actually, you might find this funny, but TikTok, I'm learning stuff off of TikTok. I never learned in church. I speak the heaven to you because I'm not.
That's crazy.
TikTok.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I feel like this episode really helped. It's helping a lot of people. Honestly, I feel like if you had a lot of questions about, you know, what is God or where is God or things of that nature, or how to build your connection with God, I feel like we all talked a lot. We all gave you a lot of perspective. We all gave you some testimonies that you can go off of, you know, in helping you and building your relationship with God. You know, we talked about first steps. Everybody have different first steps. Whatever your first step is, you know, that's just your first step. Everybody have their own path, their own walk with Christ.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I feel like
take that first step. Whatever it is for you, definitely take that first step, you know? And I think I just want to finish off by saying don't allow anybody to fool you that God not real.
Absolutely. That's very key.
Yeah, don't let nobody fool you that God not real. A lot of people say, oh, you can't see him. How do you know? And this, that, and the thing. All this stuff. People believe in coronavirus and they've never seen it.
That was a great point.
You see what I'm saying? God. Like, you've never seen it. You heard about it and you believe in it.
That's crazy. I've never
seen the news. Come on now.
I've never seen the flu before, but I believe it.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you believe George Washington was president. You believe Abraham Lincoln was, you know, all this, that, and the third.
That's crazy.
So don't allow nobody to fool you that God not real. But listen, yo. This has been good. Yo, I appreciate you all. Definitely check out the Anchor Link. Hey, look, y'all can become a supporter now. Come on now.
Check out that Anchor Link.
Come on now. Listen, if you all can become a supporter of the podcast, where you can just make a small like monthly donation and it'll help us progress the podcast. Continue to check us out. Yo, we on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more. We doing it big around here. Come on now. We're doing it big. Let's go. All this is to encourage the youth and enlighten our elders. Man, thank you all so much for tuning in. Y'all have a good one. Stay blessed.
Peace. Love.